Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right. What up, though? We got a wide range of fans out there. With the 75th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Kerron Amagaji, tackle out of Yale.
It's been a historic draft for the Bears so far. So who better to continue our Bears draft coverage than Mark Grody and Hub Arkish? Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Let's go! What's happening, everybody? Indeed. It is me, Mark Grody, and him, Hub Arkish.
I like being him. That's
yeah,
not bad.
Yeah, you are him. I am me. And we are here to talk about the Chicago Bears and the 2024 NFL Draft. We've got Alex Kuhn producing the show, and we consider ourselves open right now for you. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let me get right into it, Hub, and we'll have plenty of time to reflect and discuss Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze because they are the splash headliners. Obviously, I was out at Hallis Hall today, as you were you, for the press conference, and then we got a little more of an intimate roundtable type of thing with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. Were you in the roundtable with those guys?
Yeah, I was, but I'm not sure what the point of that roundtable really was.
Oh, no, I mean,
all we did was re-ask some of the same questions that we did the first time.
Exactly, but I did appreciate that they did that. I mean, I actually felt bad for Caleb Williams because he's been through the car wash with everybody, and then we all get to talk to him, and then Bears PR was nice enough to make him available again to a smaller group of us. There were probably like 7 to 10 of us who were not in Detroit. And as Caleb came in and he sat right next to me, it was like a kindergarten circle. And I just said, "Oh, you're back again." He goes, "Yep, I'm back again." So he knows that he's getting put through it, but he did it with a smile on his face.
You know, the thing that impressed me the most today, we've been studying these guys for a while. This is the first time that we've met them in person and got to see them being people, you know, without the cameras on or anything else. That was the nice thing about the second session we did with them. And the thing that I'm the most impressed by right now is that both these young men are just incredibly young men. You know, they're really smart. They're prepared. I ended up sitting next to their parents during the press
really?
Conference. Yeah. Odunze's parents were right next to me, and then Caleb's parents were right next to them. And I was so impressed by them. I was so impressed by their parents. I was reporting a month and a half, 2 months ago, what I was being told, that there were questions about William's father, you know, that he was too involved in all this, mm-hmm. that he was doing too much. And so I started doing some homework about 5-6 weeks ago, and it became obvious that right or wrong, he was going to be the Bears guy. And it turns out that he has spent the last month or two, I don't know that there was anything to clean up. I don't know that he ever did anything wrong, but changing things and getting things settled down. And I was so impressed not only by the two of them and meeting them today, but by their families and by the way they carried themselves. And I'm so impressed by the way that Ryan Poles has handled the rebuilding of this roster, because he is making such a priority out of quality people, out of intelligence, out of smarts, you know, and I just think we saw a lot of that from these two kids today.
Yeah, we did. And again, if you have a question or a comment for either of us, let's talk. 312-644 Bears bonus coverage here on The Score. Like I said, Hub and I, you know, we're not going to 10, not 11. We're going to the next day. We're going to midnight, ladies and gentlemen. We're going until Saturday tonight talking about the Chicago Bears. I guess while we're on that topic, Hub, one of the things that it was on my mind throughout this weekend with Caleb Williams was thinking about what was going on about 3-4 weeks ago and what's been going on throughout this entire pre-draft process, where you start to get reports that Caleb Williams may not want to go to the Chicago Bears. Colin Cowherd comes on the station and, you know, had to clarify some things about that, because he had said that he may not want to be here. And that's one of the biggest parts for me. I was watching very closely just to sort of follow the demeanor of Caleb Williams. Is he looking people in the eyes? Does he seem genuinely happy about this? Does he really like being part of the Bears organization? And it really feels like he does. There was whatever happened between Ryan Poles and Caleb Williams and his father and maybe his agent or whomever else was allowed in that small discussion, definitely sold Caleb Williams. And I want you to listen to this cut here from Caleb Williams essentially talking about what satisfied him about the Bears relative to the meeting that he had with Ryan Poles, and his father was involved.
You obviously look into it to be the only team without a 3,000-yard passer, I believe, right? 4,000, yeah, four. You look into it, and you wonder why. And I ask questions, obviously. I have no shame in asking questions. And so, you know, you ask why and things like that, and they're all for answering questions. They told the truth, and, you know, that's what that was. They told me the truth. They told me and my dad the truth about why and what and where and how it's going to change, and you know, that's what we're excited about.
Yeah, and I don't know, we don't know exactly what the truth was. I think obvious actions made by Ryan Poles too had to have won him over, and if you had to win the father over as well, Carl, then the players that they are putting around this man, Caleb Williams, have to have you at about a 10 with now Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Roma Dunze. I think that probably was part of the discussion. Don't worry. We are obsessed with offense right now.
Well, and I thought it was really interesting because Caleb told us at least 4 or 5 different times today how impressed he was by the way the Bears front office, management, coaching staff handled his pro day, you know, how they informed him, you know, how they prepared him. He had nothing but positive things to say about everything that's gone on in the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. And so I think that's a really good sign. Now, you know, when you do this job, Mark, you got to take positions. Sometimes you're going to be right. Sometimes you're going to be wrong. I said a year ago, and nothing has changed my mind, that I think Caleb Williams is the second best quarterback prospect in this draft. I still think J.J. McCarthy is the best. But that doesn't mean that I don't like the Williams pick. I have nothing negative to say about Caleb Williams. I just think McCarthy, he reminds me so much of Tom Brady, and I can't get past that.
Okay.
Because there's only one guy with 7 pro.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to find out, yeah, man. We'll find out in the next 5 to 7 years.
We'll know in a few years. And I could care less that he went to Michigan. I mean, you know, I obviously.
Well, Hub, you have to factor that in a little bit, don't you? I mean, you paid more attention to him probably.
Well, I've studied him more.
Yeah.
But I don't factor it into my evaluation
okay.
of him.
Okay.
But I can tell you that a couple of the things that a lot of the other, quote, reporters have been reporting about his weaknesses are absolutely his strengths, and they just don't know what they're talking about because he was running a completely different scheme than the other 5 quarterbacks who went in the first round. But this isn't about McCarthy. This is about Caleb Williams. The Bears had to take him at number one. He was I can't remember the last player who was such a surefire number one prospect in a draft as Caleb Williams has been for about a year now.
Right. I guess Andrew Luck would probably be the answer to – no, not Andrew Luck. I would go even –
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
maybe.
Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. Yeah, that would probably be
– And by the way, we're still not sure about Trevor Lawrence.
No, I ask everybody that I get a chance to ask. I think it might have been on the clock show with one of our guests that we had on this year. I asked our guest, is he trending more towards bust than boom? And he wouldn't say bust, but he just said you have to accept that he's not going to be or he may not be elite. We have to accept that this could just be a good quarterback, which for many people is not acceptable.
But there is nothing on tape with him that suggests he's a bust. He's not a bust. But there is a lot on tape that suggests he may not be the franchise quarterback that everybody thought he was going to be.
Yeah, like he might be good. Like I talked about this recently. Like there's a word that we don't use enough in sports that we're all afraid to use in sports. Back to your point, we all have to have a take. And it seems like you're either great or elite or bad or not. Sometimes a player is good. And some, you know who's good? Kirk Cousins. That's an example of a player in sports who is not great. He's not average either. He's good. He's good. Now, for some people, good is not good enough. But I think that many times we have to accept good, even in the case of Trevor Lawrence, probably not going to be elite. But good is on the table, and good is good.
Bears. You know, Mark, I've been doing this for 47 years now. And for the first 10 years or so, we, Pro Football Weekly, were the only ones even covering the draft, doing draft analysis, doing player analysis. Then Kuiper came along about, I don't know what it was, 8-10 years later. And then all the other experts that are out there now started coming around 20-25 years later. But over those 47 years, you know, all the players that I have seen in the position that Caleb Williams is in right now, I can't remember seeing someone who, when there have been things that sounded like they could be problems or mistakes, that got fixed so instantly, and he made him go away. There was no bad feeling, and I think that it's obvious he has great parents. He was very well raised, and they are continuing to be parents, you know, more than NFL, you know, team owners or whatever they want to be, you know, and the same thing for Roman Dunze. I mean, I was literally sitting right next to his parents, and they were just so proud of their son, you know, and Caleb's parents too. That's what the day was about for them. And that just meant a lot to me because I've seen other first round picks come in with their families, and their families, all they wanted to talk about was how much is the contract going to be for, you know, and there was none of that there today. These guys were all about becoming immediately leaders in this Bears franchise.
Right.
And that really impressed me.
Yeah. It's happening already out there. I don't get carried away, but I mean, just the way they comported themselves today was huge, I think, in the grand scheme of things. All right, let's talk about the third round. The Bears have made a pick in the third round. This will be the only pick they have today. They have a fourth rounder as well, number 122 overall. That'll be tomorrow unless some funny stuff happens here. But in the third round, 75th overall, number 10 today, the Bears take a offensive lineman, a tackle, Karan Amagaji out of Yale, man. We got a Yale Bulldog on the team. He is a local kid. He is from Hinsdale. Unfortunately, he only played in 4 games last year due to injury. But just kind of going through some of his career, and I'll give the brief professional overview of him, Hub, and then I definitely want to hear what you have to say. But just going through what he has done so people get an idea of where he may play for the Bears if he makes the team and all of that. But third round is the third round. In 2020, Karan Amagaji did not play because of COVID. 2021, he played every game at right guard. In 2022, he played every game at left tackle, and he is down as a tackle. In 2023, like I said, he played in just the 4 games. His season was basically wiped out. Let me just read to you what NFL Network, specifically Lance Zierlein, one of the guys that I trust in terms of mock drafts and giving the overviews of these guys. But according to Lance Zierlein, this is the overview is with a rare blend of athletic traits and eye-popping length. Yeah, I guess I should have probably mentioned his size first, 6'5", 326. It might be a mistake to bet against the high number of boxes Amagaji checks. His hand usage is a work in progress, and he hasn't learned to consistently get into blocks with proper footwork and body control, but both issues are coachable and likely to be corrected. Provided he improves his punch timing and placement, his ability to keep rushers at the end of his length could become a big advantage. Amagaji already possesses impressive explosiveness as a drive blocker and could become a quality NFL starter once his tutelage is complete. We're going to go see Yoda. Strength, outstanding blend of size, athleticism, and length. Road grading power to clear running lanes with leverage and force. Light on his feet with the ability to get to challenger to challenging blocks in space. Hands showed noticeable in-season improvement in pass protection. Loose lower half provides foundation for NFL anchor strength. Body control, lateral agility, displays impressive torque and turn power, and his hips are a base blocker. Last little part here, the weaknesses, at least according to the NFL Network and Lance Zierlein, acclimation to jump in competition level might take some time. Still needs plenty of work with hand placement and punch timing. Hasn't learned to reset hands and make the most of his length. Average instincts in recognition of twists, lacking consistent footwork to square into initial contact with efficiency. And lastly, feel for positioning and angles as a run blocker need work. And again, that is the Bears' third round selection tackle, Karan Amagaji out of Yale, 6'5", 326, Hub.
You know who this pick reminds me of the most is probably Braxton Jones, except he was a fifth-round pick, and this is a third-round pick.
Yeah. Okay.
But, I just mentioned, I've been doing this 47 years now, and I can't remember a time where there was a player in the third round that I had not done a full study of. This young man, I had looked at him a little bit. I knew how big he was. I knew he had some athletic ability. But I was just waiting until tomorrow because I thought, you know, if he gets picked, he's a six or a seven.
Interesting.
You know, but that doesn't mean it. That's just because I hadn't done my homework.
No, I got
that's
you.
Not because there's anything wrong with him.
Yeah, I got you.
And with what they've gotten so far out of their last left tackle in the fifth round, you know, it seems that Poles knows what he's doing here. I think he continues to show us with almost everything he does that at least the plan is good. They're not all going to be right. You're not going to get them all right. But the plan is really good. And we keep hearing people saying, oh, you know, 50 years, they've never had a quarterback. You know, 50 years, they've never had a front office or a GM or anything like that. The thing that fans need to realize is that they were all different GMs who drafted the different failed quarterbacks. You know, it's not a system problem. It's just that the McCaskey family is responsible. They've hired the wrong people as GM and scouts.
Yeah, I mean, that counts, though. You know, that's not nothing. I mean,
I'm bringing it up. I'm not.
Okay, I just thought you were kind of breezing past
no,
it.
No.
Okay.
I'm not giving
that,
them.
That's that. There is an organizational. There has been an organizational issue.
Yeah, and it's real. But from a fan's perspective, what you guys need to understand is that don't equate that to Ryan Poles or Matt Eberflus. You want to equate it to the McCaskies, that's fine. You know, but they're just here in years.
They're like, we just got here, man. Yo,
yeah.
Get off our backs.
And they're just starting the third year of a complete rebuild that takes at least 3 years. And everything they've done so far, except for, you know, Chase Claypool, seems like the right move so far.
Yeah, I mean, no, absolutely. And I look at the offensive line now. If we're to, you know, talk about it as it pertains to Karan Amagaji, that you mentioned Braxton Jones. They're rolling with Braxton Jones, unless there's something that unless Amagaji is going to compete at left tackle. I don't know.
Do Bears fans understand that he was voted first team all rookie left tackle in 22?
Braxton.
Yeah, and that's not just because some Bears fans liked him.
I mean, yeah,
that's the whole NFL. You know, making those votes, and I'm not saying that makes him the best, you know, rookie tackle.
Yeah, no, it's great. No, it's a revel. Braxton Jones is a revelation. He is not a dominant left tackle by any means, but he's a revelation. It's a good pick. It was surprising. I don't think Braxton Jones. I remember when Braxton Jones got here. You know, we're all watching inside the Walter Payton Center, and all of a sudden, there's Braxton Jones playing left tackle, and we're all like, what's going on? There's Tevin Jenkins, who's still trying to get his footing in the NFL, and we're seeing this, and it was like, well, okay, maybe they're just messing around. Like, they're trying every player. This is early on in OTAs, and then Ryan Poles is like, no, this is real, guys. This is real.
Well, and this kid today in the third round is the same pick. I mean, it's a guy with great athletic traits, you know, and because of the level of competition, you're not sure – you know, how great it's going to be at the NFL level, but it's a guy who has the physical traits and ability to develop into a really good left tackle. Now they got to see if they can do it, you know, and they did a pretty good job so far, which, you know, maybe he can't beat out Jones. You know, maybe you've got two starting left tackles. Wouldn't that be a nice problem?
Yeah, yeah, no, I think they roll with Braxton Jones unless there's another surprise up Ryan Poles' sleeve. But
I'm not sure that they've decided yet that their right tackle isn't going to be their left tackle. You know,
Darnell Wright to the left side?
Because of the three, I mean, there's no question that Darnell Wright is the best of the three.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't move him because he was really good at right tackle last year, but I know there's been talk about it, and it's a consideration. Happens all the time in the NFL.
Who's going to be their center next year? Is their center, is it really going to be Bates or Shelton? I mean, Jeremy Bates. And,
well, I think Shelton, he started all 17 games for the Raiders
last year. No, he did, but it seems like
started 13 games the year before.
I'm hearing more Bates starting at center, though. Like, is that possibility? Yeah, logically speaking, once they signed Shelton Coleman, I thought for sure, okay, that's the guy. I'm not necessarily moved by that signing, but you're right. He played the position last year, so
they've got options, you know.
Options.
The best center in the draft was taken about four or five picks before they took the tackle.
Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yes, and so I was hoping he'd
hang on. Yeah, man, that would have been great.
Almost made it, but
That would have been the unexpected move right there, and then none of us would have had to worry about. And then you could say that you've built some good interior depth for sure. But I think Nate Davis comes back next year and is better. I mean, he did not play. I don't think he did anything in training camp. Zero. Then he had to unfortunately deal with some real personal issues. So hopefully that is better this year, Nate Davis at right guard. And as you said, Darnell Wright was, I can't wait to see where he, because, you know, he had some moments last year that weren't perfect. I think that there are new levels that and heights that he can get to and that I'd like to see him get to.
Yeah, I mean, they were a 7-10 team, and we're celebrating the fact that they finished 4-1, but they were still a 7-10 team, you know, and you can't ignore that. You know, this could blow up fast. They could get to a slow start again this year, and who knows which way it goes. There are still positions that they have to get more talent at, but I don't think that's real likely. Not the way they played the second half of last season, and not the way that I hear all this top level talent talking about it, you know, because they have shown in their college careers and early in their pro careers that they do have the athletic ability to be difference makers at these positions.
Yep, no doubt. And you mentioned it. I mean, Ryan Poles has, since, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, that what was a straight up rebuild that looked like it was going to take more than 3 years. But here we are in a situation where Ryan Poles said before the draft that this roster was going to be difficult to make. And I kind of was like, I don't know, are we ready to say that yet? But this roster might be pretty difficult to make at this point in terms of, you know, whatever rookie free agents there are. And the extra guys that are sitting, that will be sitting on this roster. Do you feel that way, Hub? Are they ready? Are they ready to be in the playoffs now, considering all of this? Because before the draft, and honestly, before Keenan Allen, I was like, let's not get carried away here. I don't think this team is a playoff team pre-Keenan Allen, pre-draft. But now I look at it and say, yeah, it probably should be a playoff team.
I think the reason that we feel that way is because, you know, if you think about it, the only position where they're not good enough right now is edge rusher. And they have one of the best in the league, but you need two. And they got to get a second one. And that's going to make Montez Sweat even that much better. But if you've only got one position that you're not comfortable with out of your, you know, 24, 25 starters, then you're a team that thinks they should be in the playoffs. And that's kind of where they're at right now. I mean, what other position can you think of? We don't know about center, but they've definitely upgraded the position.
So, yeah, center, like you said, defensive end. Right, and maybe DeMarcus Walker shows up next year like better than he, because he was a relative disappointment, I thought, because he came in and the Bears kind of saw something and said, okay, he had a career high in with 8 sacks with Tennessee the previous year. Sometimes guys like that, like it's a career achievement, or they're on the upswing, and I think that that's what Ryan Poles was banking on. So I don't rule out the possibility that he has a big season. I'm not talking about a monster season, but at least, you know, getting back into that 8 to 12 sack range.
I haven't heard Ryan say this. He hasn't said it to me. I haven't heard him say it to anybody. But I think that he thinks that those two defensive tackles he took in the second round last year are going to take a big step forward this year. And Dexter, one of them was coming on in the second
Zach
half.
Zach Pickens, not so much, but Jervon Dexter. Yeah, it was interesting because I thought last year in training camp, I thought Zach Pickens, even in the games, the preseason games, slightly outplayed Jervon Dexter. So I kind of had my eyes on him, but Pickens became a relative disappointment last year, far from like giving up on him. But yeah, I mean, he talks about the fastest pathway to the quarterback is through the defense of the interior of the defensive line. So yeah, he's booking on those guys.
You know, the other thing that we haven't really talked about, we haven't seen a whole season with Montez Sweat yet. I mean, we've seen half a season, and it was great to see.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know, and I think you're just going to see him continue to get better, and but he's got to get some help. And that's the, if they are not a serious contender for a playoff spot, I'm not going to lock them into they got to be in the playoffs, but if they're not a serious contender for a playoff spot, I think the only reason I could see would be that they didn't do enough at edge rusher, and I'm sure they're not done yet there. I'm sure that they have more plans as to how they can improve that.
Yeah, no, they've got to. I mean, Ryan Poles knows it. There's going to be some guys that get cut from teams. There's always surprise waves and or cuts, and then maybe you get some sort of jewel that way, or even with one of the undrafted rookies, or maybe there is somebody in the fourth round at number 122 overall. But yeah, I mean, one of the things that I was talking about yesterday too is that we used the word good earlier, and I'm talking about good, like good is good. The Bears defense is good right now. I don't think they got to the level of great last year, nor do I think that they were elite. I think a lot of people think that this is like trending towards elite. No, I don't think that they are there yet. But even if they don't get another defensive end edge rusher right now, I think that they're okay. You know what I mean? They're not going to be overwhelmed because of it. Montez Sweat is still Montez Sweat. He's still going to be able to get to the quarterback. I'd like to think that some of these other guys will start to put some numbers up as well. So if you don't get another definite slam dunk dude, you're not screwed, I think is what I'm saying. Because the defense is good at all positions.
And they are really young in the secondary and on the interior of the defensive line.
Yeah, and super talented.
And you have to assume that those very talented young people are going to take a step forward this year.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to limit that step. We don't know how big a step they can take.
Yeah, Kyler Gordon is, you know, just heading into his third year. He had a nice jump last year. Tariq Stevenson, kind of a volatile season if you go right from the beginning of the preseason through the year. He had moments, but I think that he had enough good moments to offset some of the rough stuff that he went through. Obviously, Jalen Johnson now locked in with the Bears with his brand new contract. You know, the safety situation, you have a continuing to develop and getting better Jaquan Brisker, and we'll see how Kevin Byard sort of works with him this year, how those two work out.
You know, another thing I like about Ryan Poles is that he is true to his scheme. You know, he has a plan. Everything he does, he stays within that scheme. And then looking at these young players, you know, that he has brought in, I think that he has tried to not develop them more slowly, but not to rush them. They've been careful not to rush them. And I will tell you right now, I feel very strongly about this. If the Washington Commanders had any idea that Montez Sweat was as good as he was the second half of last season for the Bears, I don't think they would have traded him.
I don't know, man. Yeah. I think that they for some reason, they were just unloading. I think they knew what they had in that guy, and they just decided to break it all down to the studs, basically.
Well, they had to get rid of Young. They had to get rid of the other guy because he's a bad guy. They had to get him out of the locker room. But I think in the case of Sweat, look at what they've done. They've had, I think, four picks in the first two rounds. So I think they were loading up picks, and they were doing the same thing that the Bears started a year earlier, you know, and they've got a new GM and coach, so we'll see what they do.
Yep, we shall find out very soon. And we are, by the way, it's Mark Rohde and Hub Arkish here on The Score. Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hub Arkish and I get to be here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. We have all sorts of things planned for you. We're going to let you hear. We'll see. We'll find out. I assume that our media brethren out at Hallis Hall are probably going to eventually Zoom with their new third-round tackle, Karan Amagaji. As I'm hearing now that they have Zoom with him. So when we return, we're going to take a quick break here right now, but when we return, we are going to hear from the Bears' third-round pick, the offensive lineman, Karan Amagaji, out of Yale, 6'5", 326. Also, we are going to hear Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. Like I said, they did the interview car wash, as we call it in the business, where they just kind of go to all the TV and radio and do the interviews all day long in one fell swoop. Well, guess what? Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams were on the Parkinson Spiegel show today. We will have chunks from both of those interviews to kind of let you know what they said in those cases. And Hub and I are always here for your questions or your comments. We got Hub Arkish here, man. 312-644-6767. This would be a good time to call if you would like to get in. 312-644-6767. I'm going to get my text screen up and running here in just a second. But Hub and I will be with you until midnight here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Our live draft coverage continues on 670 The Score, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Welcome back into the program. It is indeed Mark Grody and Hub Arkish here with you until midnight tonight. And if you want to get in on the Bears talk, that's what we're doing live and local, 312-644-6767 is the number. I think that there is the approval rating on what the Bears have done in the draft and generally speaking in the offseason is at about 100. One of the things now, Hub, and you know, we could talk about tempering expectations for a rookie quarterback. Do you think that the coaching infrastructure led by Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron are up to the task of taking on what is all of a sudden a hyper-talented team? Like, do you feel comfortable with them? Because let's be honest, I mean, we talk about the reasons for Bears' offensive failures through the years. In many cases, it is the player himself, and there's no excuses that can be made. But obviously, there have been serious coaching problems for the Bears in past years as well. So are you feeling comfortable about this group with Caleb Williams?
Well, we haven't seen this offensive group do anything yet, so I don't know. I say I'm feeling
just going on resume a little bit.
But they are well known. They're well respected, and I think Waldron in particular, he is not going to change his offensive style because of these players they've added. They're adding these players because that's what he wants to run his offensive style, and I'm sure of that. I know Flus knows that, you know, and I know Poles knows that. And so I don't think that there's going to be any issues at all with that. I think the question is, how different is it going to be from what Caleb Williams did in college, and how long is it going to take him to learn this scheme? And again, I don't think they had decided on Williams when they hired Waldron, but I think they had a pretty good idea that was where they were going. And I think part of what made them go with Waldron is they may probably thought he was going to be the best guy for Williams. So
yeah.
I think that they should get off to a pretty good start early.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because all these parts and pieces have to come together. They have, thankfully, put a lot of pressure on themselves to be a real team this year. And one of the things that will have to occur, whether we want it or not, Hub, and you've been really good at making sure we all know this. I think you and I talked about this last night. I believe it was on the radio. Sometimes that line's a little bit fuzzy, but
that was indeed last night.
It was last night. Alex Kuhn can confirm because he probably booked me for that show. Did that happen? Yeah, that did happen.
That did happen.
It is a long.
Thanks for remembering, Mark.
It's a long, wonderful weekend, and we're just getting cooking here on everything that that is going down here, Hub. But I don't know. I mean, it feels like it feels like there is some comfort with the coaching staff. So, I mean, they've obviously already had serious conversations and all of that kind of stuff. So I hope that you're right on that.
You know, of all the stuff that has happened in the last, pick a time frame, 6 months, the weirdest thing to me was basically tearing up almost the whole offensive staff. I didn't see that coming. You know, and by the way, do Bears fans understand that Luke Getsy is not only the offensive coordinator of the Las Vegas Raiders now, but he was interviewed by three teams.
Yeah.
And all three of them wanted him.
Yeah.
So, you know, all this idea that, you know, Getsy was the problem and Flus was the problem and all these other things, not true. You know, is it? Now, I'm not saying that Luke Getsy's a good offensive coordinator. I again, we'll see now what happens with the Raiders, but he is highly thought of around the league.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny. Like, when it happened, I reached out to him. I text him, Luke, just to see if he wanted to comment on the record. And all he said was, you know, on to the next. And I said, is there anything else you want? He said, I'd really rather not say anything else. So,
And I will tell you, and this is in keeping with what we were talking about at the start of the show, many of the Bears coaches, and especially Luke, very impressive, you know, with how they've worked with the media and treated the media.
He was very good with the media.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, he and wasn't ever asking for anything, didn't expect us to give him any breaks or anything like that. He was just extremely professional, and you know, I hope it works out for him with the Raiders.
Yeah, look, he's a Bears offense coordinator that where the offense wasn't great. So as it is, like, it's always open season on offensive coordinators in Chicago. I mean, that is sport. So I doubt that many people agree with what we're saying right now, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Luke Getsy has new life now in the NFL, and we're all going to find out. We're going to continue to follow the careers of Justin Fields and Luke Getsy and see, you know, where these guys rise to.
You know, Mark, real quick, when you see how the trade came down, I think that pretty firmly established the problem was Justin Fields. It was not Luke Getsy. You know, I mean, the bigger problem. Let me put it that way.
I definitely tend to agree with you. And I stuck up for Luke Getsy when I thought it was appropriate. He was imperfect with some things. I was critical of him for something, but I mean, look, you and I were sitting there, and I remember it pretty vividly in training camp last year. I think it was on fields 1 and 2, closest to Halas Hall, and you and I were sitting on the far bleachers, and we're just kind of like watching Justin Fields and being like, it sucks to have to come to the realization that you and I were coming to, but that ain't it. I was like, and I stuck up for him and was there for him, like all of that. Like, I wanted him to be good
because he's such an impressive young man.
Such an impressive young man. Not just that though, Hub. Just the fact that he's got these undeniably big time tools. He was a superstar runner in 2022, but none of that mattered. You know.
The other thing that made really impressed. I'm sorry, now I'm running to Toledo, but the other thing that really impressed me, you know, about Getsy, he never blamed Fields. You know, I never heard him say anything to suggest that the problem was he didn't have a good enough quarterback.
It was the other way around, actually.
Yeah. Fields, I think, hung him out to dry a few times. And that, again, impressed me that he didn't react, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, but this is where you're talking about 40-year-old men and 22-year-old men or 23-year-old men. You know, it's different. But whatever, it's over now.
And it is. I think, but it's never really over, Hub. You know, I mean, people are still getting over Trubisky, so the conversation will continue because it's what we do.
I don't really get that because
that's sports talk radio.
Trubisky, I know, but I mean, none of the other quarterbacks who failed were the prospect that Caleb Williams is.
That is absolutely true. You know, 100%.
And comparing him to them, plus the fact that he has a new coaching staff, a new GM,
and players,
it's a fresh start. So I think that what if fans want to be enjoy the Bears and be happy, just write off the past, focus on what happens tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and let's see what they're doing now. You know, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of where the Cubs are at right now, because how disappointed were Cubs fans, of which I'm fanatic, I admit, last year when everything came apart in September?
Oh, yeah. You know, well, they kind of choked. Yeah, they had a 92% chance of making the playoffs. And it was pretty amazing that they got themselves in the position to be in the playoffs. But to your point.
But my point is they did pretty much the same thing that the Bears are doing. They went out and got maybe the best coach in Major League Baseball. And now look at the start that he's off to with a very similar roster. They didn't really do much. They made a couple of nice free agent moves. You know, and I think that that's very much a trend in professional sports these days. All these GMs and coaches and coordinators are younger than they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
They're all far more concerned with their communication with their roster and with their players and with the players' communication with each other. And I think that Poles and Flus and all of them have done a pretty good job with that so far.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they start playing real games, it can be different. So we'll see what happens. But for now, I think Bears fans should feel good about where they're at as we head into the offseason.
You did a Cubs analogy, so I'm going to do one as well. There is the two organizations, the Cubs and Bears, are extremely similar in a couple of ways. That prior, with the Cubs, they're both incredibly popular organizations. They are the two most popular sports organizations in this city. Both teams, and I'm leaving the Cubs out, but prior to 2016, were wholly disappointing year after year, but still had faithful fans coming in. And in the Cubs' case, it was made into this lovable loser thing. That never really happened with the Bears. Bears fans are different. There wasn't a love. There was definitely, like, the fans stuck around, and they didn't abandon, and they were still loyal, but there is that similarity to it, and you just didn't have it. Now, like, what the Cubs did in 2016, that wipes everything out. That sets a completely new precedent. Your organization is automatically, you're not a loser anymore. That's what the Cubs were prior to 2016. They had their moments through the years in terms of winning divisions and getting to the playoffs. But the Cubs were that organization that was, there was a loser mentality that they were allowed to get away with for so many years. That's what's been going on with the Bears for a long time now, that there has been more losing than winning. They've had six playoff wins since 1985, which is insane. But now there's this feeling, I'm starting to have vibes of the Cubs. Like, there's a new, like, just watching Caleb Williams sort of has this, don't, like, he's sort of winking to us figuratively, saying, I got this. Don't worry. Roman Dunze saying, enough. I know you guys have been hurt before. It's okay. I got DJ Moore was even like that, well, you know?
Yeah. And the other amazing thing about the Cubs playoff disaster is that of those six or seven wins, five or six of them were in the 3 years after the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, it all happened in that one window.
Yeah, exactly. It happened in that one window. I mean, we know where there's some obvious wins getting to the Super Bowl in 2006, but yeah, man, some of those were in the late 80s. So that's a great caveat or clarification to what I said. So right now you find, and that's what I felt about because I was doing pre and post for the Cubs, and that's what I felt about Chris Bryant and Javier Baez and Anthony Rizzo. It was just this, like, relax. We know what you've been through. And I know you think that this whole thing is going to collapse. Like, this is 2016, even. Like, when fans remember, like, at the All-Star break, Pittsburgh had crept to win the, like, four or five games or something like that. And it was just, but my feeling being around those guys every day, seeing them on the team buses every day, seeing them on the air, it was sort of like, we got this. No, don't worry. And I hope that's what it was for the Bears, because, and I'm not just manufacturing this, that's the feeling I got at Halas Hall today with everybody, the families, and Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams just taking everything in stride. So I hope that analogy comes to pass.
As I was walking out to head down here, I bumped into George McGaskey. He was so happy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I haven't seen anybody in the family that happy in a while. You know? And I didn't ask him why. I mean, I assume it's because he knew he had a couple of
people.
But I think what it was all about was that the fans are buying in. And I think that's what he's happy about right now, is that the fans are buying in.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, the happy McCaskies. I like when I saw Pat McCaskey was in the room today, and it was just hilarious because after Caleb had spoken, and then he decided to stick around for the Roma Dunze press conference, and so he goes and kind of squeezes in between. I don't know, there was one other PR person and then Pat McCaskey, so he kind of sat right in between them. And Pat, being the modest man that he is, just looked at him and said, "Hey, how's it going, Caleb? I'm Pat." And Caleb looks at him and goes, "Hey, Pat, nice to meet you." It was just that, if you know Pat, it's really funny.
Well, the other great thing about Pat, I don't know if you know this or not because you're not old enough, but going back to when I started in the Bears broadcast booth, which was 87 or 86, I can't remember which, and went for the next 17 years, Pat was the PR director.
Oh, was he really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I think I did hear that.
Yes.
Because George was in tickets and sales, right? Mm-hmm. And so Pat was the PR guy.
Yeah, and it was pretty strange because I love Pat. Pat is a really good human being.
So nice. Yeah.
But but what he's not is a PR guy.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. But I just smile when I see it. So I'm at the stadium thing the other night, and Yeah, and he's got a one-liner for you. So, but yeah, hey, look, if everybody should be happy right now organizationally. It's been a win, and look, you can celebrate this for a while, and then things will get serious, and we'll get onto the field here. 312-644-6767. Is line three good to go? I know, is that a call here, Mr. Kuhn? Okay, I wasn't sure if that was something that we were going to. I've scared off a couple of our calls because I'm so long-winded here tonight, but there's just so much to discuss right now about the Bears, and we are open for you at 312-644-6767. How do you think this is all going to work? Like, I'm already excited to start thinking about the Bears offense in terms of, obviously, I think that there will be heavy-duty focus on the veterans with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, but I mean, I don't see, just having watched enough of Roma Dunze, yes, of course, there's always adjustment level, but he doesn't feel like a guy who you can't just plug and play right away and making good contributions right from the start. You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing that I'm most interested in right now is I think that there's still one more, it's going to be a significant, not a big signing, but one more significant signing coming. I think they still have to go get a true number two quarterback. I mean, I liked what I saw from Tyson Bagent last year. You know, 2-2 for a kid from Division III or wherever he's from. That's all great stuff. But I didn't see anything in the athletic ability. And he did read the field very well, but it didn't tell me that, God forbid, there's a serious injury, that they're going to be a serious playoff contender with him as your starting quarterback. I think it would be good for both Williams and him if they bring in another veteran who's had a couple years as a starter, figured out he was never going to be a lifelong NFL starter, but definitely who can help develop Williams and help work with him, with the coaching staff and with Ryan Poles, and even with the new receivers, and they did sign another veteran backup quarterback. I can't even remember what his name is.
That would be Brett Rypien. Yes, Brett Rypien. Yeah, it doesn't feel great when you have to, like, you know, strain your brain to think about who the quarterbacks are on the Bears.
I like Bajan a little better.
Okay, yeah. This one, I like his chances. No, to your point, look, Mitch Trubisky had Chase Daniel in the quarterback room. I mean, could there have been a better person to have in that room? And look, the Andy Dalton thing, I don't know if he ever should have been a Bear, but I'll tell you what, Justin Fields loved Andy Dalton, and really sort of depended on him for a lot of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that will be one of the parts that the Bears will have to make up for. There's no way that this quarterback, Caleb Williams, is going to be, with all due respect, is going to be leaning on Tyson Bagent and Brett Rypien for higher knowledge.
You know, I think it would be a mistake to not have Williams be your opening day starter. I mean, at this point, this is where you're going.
Oh, 100. Oh, yeah, no, there's no competition
here. And he is such a great prospect that there's no reason for him not to be the opening day starter.
He's day one.
But he needs somebody with some veteran experience to lean on and to be able to just talk to it and ask questions and whatever, because that the player-player relationship is very different from the player-coach relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm not saying it's an emergency. I'm not saying they have to. But I do think they'd be wise to sign a legit number two quarterback, just in case, you know, both to help Williams and in case somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, that's one of the things I learned doing the sideline reporting for several years for the Bears, and just being right down there with them on the sideline, was seeing the interactions that would go on with whomever is the starting quarterback. And like you said, oftentimes the person was not the offensive coordinator, not the head coach, but another player, the backup quarterback.
I was really impressed with the way Bagent and Fields worked together last year.
Yeah.
You know, while Justin was hurt, he was there for Bagent. You know, it wasn't the most important thing in his life, but I mean, he was there and he was trying to help. And especially when something happened on the field or something went wrong. And that relationship in that quarterback room, that's really important. And I think it'll be important for Williams to get off to a good start, to have a veteran that he can count on to be with him.
We're going
to
hear from Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze. Both of them are on the score today. Also, we are, in just a little bit, we are going to hear from the Bears' third-round pick, tackle Karan Amagaji out of Yale, 6'5", 326. We'll kind of refresh and tell you about him, and we'll get to hear from him in a second. But let's do it, Hub. Let's get to these phone calls. 312-644-6767. Let's start with Joe on the south side. What's up, Joe? You're on the score.
Hey, guys. So nice to hear from you. Hey, listen, what a great weekend. But I want to talk about a couple things. I tried to call in on the morning show, but couldn't get through. But everyone's talking about the history, and look at the Bears' history, and I get that. And I always say you can look at the past, but you don't have to stare at it.
And past is for cowards and losers.
Now, in terms of my opinion on this draft, listen, everyone's saying, oh, we just everyone's going number three over, Caleb Williams here. But, you know, we're not drafting a touchdown machine. We're drafting a turnover machine. If anyone ever studied, like, all the turnovers this guy's done dating back to the high school, I mean, it's going to be really rough for him in the NFL, especially with strip sacks and all this.
Caleb did have some fumble-itis, I think, last year, if that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, but he also threw 93 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. I mean, turning the ball over was never his problem.
Hey, look,
yeah, a few fumbles,
I don't think he should, like, this guy would be a little bit alarming in them. He's making it sound like it's not going to work. It has to be reckoned with. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he is an imperfect quarterback, did not have, like, the greatest year last year, nor did his team have a great year either, USC. So it's not like there's not going to be some growing pains or things that he has to straighten out at the NFL level, but I think the caller there just took that to Joe, with all due respect, took that to a higher level than it needed to be.
Yeah, I mean, the only real negative anybody has had on Caleb Williams is the five games he lost this year. You know, not he lost, the team lost.
Sure.
It wasn't his fault, you know, but he didn't play particularly well. He did in one of them, but in the other four, he didn't play particularly well.
The famous Notre Dame game, that was the first time I turned down a live Caleb Williams game, and it did not go well.
Well, and, you know, you can't ignore it, but you also have to look at, so that's five games. What about the other 30?
Yeah, yeah. You know? No, and look, we have to be skeptical, and maybe in some cases I'll allow for cynical, but I think that the good outweighs the bad, and some of those things. Look, they know this. Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron, they know where some of the things are that need to be straightened out, and those are questions that we'll be asking once we start getting into the rookie minicamp and OTAs and all that stuff is right around the corner. I like this call on line two. It just says, "Don't take extra drunk." So we're probably going to pass up that. Unfortunately, I think that probably could have been entertaining, but we don't want to have our producers work the dump buttons at a high volume. So Alex Kuhn and Leo Stoddard are back there. No, I'm not. I so want to take that call, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because I know that would send you guys into hysterics. How about we go to Paul from Illinois? It's just Paul from Illinois? Paul?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yes, Illinois, yes, man. It's great. Hey.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Land of Lincoln, baby.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So back to the Bears. Justin Fields, I thought last year performed very well. I wasn't too happy with the offense and defense, of course. But I thought one of the biggest problems with Justin Fields was the coaching leg. You know, there was multiple times where the coach would tell him to do something, but then the poor guy would just be, like, standing in the middle. Everybody, like, ran out in, like, the middle of the field and left him all in the back. And it's like he had, like, multiple sacks. He got multiple injuries. I mean, I just, you know, I don't know what was going on with the defense and the offense. But honestly, you know, if you look at for the Trubisky era and you look at Justin Field era, Justin Fields definitely did 10 times, even 50 times better than Trubisky did. And now we got Caleb Williams, which seems very, you know, awesome. I just don't know, like, is Caleb Williams the answer to us, you know, getting into the Super Bowl? You know, how much do we know about Caleb Williams and all that?
Well, let me go back to something you just said, because it's not accurate. Justin Fields' stats and performance was not better than Trubisky's, and that's just the reality of it. And you know, that's not a negative on him. It's not a negative on anybody, but that's the fact. Bears fans, because of the 1,100 yards rushing in 22, everybody just decided that the kid could do no wrong. You know, that he was. But the reality is, he has, in 3 years as a starter, never shown that he's an NFL passer, and that's where it went wrong. And I know a lot of you, you know, love watching the games. I know you watch them two or three times. I'm sure you know a lot about the sport. I don't know if you've ever coached or not, But when you guys start blaming the coaches and not the players, you know, you don't know what's going on between those coaches and players. You don't know how well the players are reacting to what the coach is trying to get them to do. And so it's just not, it's not good evaluation, I guess, is all it amounts to.
Yeah, but I mean, there is coaching culpability,
sure,
to Hub. I mean, I understand, like, it's like in any sport, ultimately it is about the players and the talent that you have that is going to either make you look good or make you look bad. But let's face it, the Bears have had some doozies through the year in terms of coaching. I mean, this organization, so I think there's a lot of fans who are just traumatized until further notice, you know.
I had a very short conversation with Luke. I want to say it was week three. I know it was during the 0-4 start, and he didn't say anything negative about Justin, but he did indicate to me that there were some things that Justin had not grown in, and it was basically reading the field. It was seeing the field, reading the field, and making decisions fast enough.
Yep.
And you know, I think he shared that because he knew I wasn't going to you know, share it while he was with him, while they were together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? What is he, 24 now? Maybe he'll figure it out, but it usually doesn't work that way. And that's why the Bears decided to move on.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, we kind of said the same thing about Mitch Trubisky on his way out the door. Like, it was like, okay, well, hey, man, good. Maybe it'll come to pass. And people are like, oh, man, this guy's going to be good. The Bears are going to be sorry. And right now, I would say that Mitch Trubisky is in quarterback hell because he's just going to be riding benches. And he'll have a very nice long career, probably, and make a lot of money. But it's definitely not what he was thinking about. 312-644-6767. We'll get to more of your calls. Like I said, we're going to hear from all three of the Bears draft picks before this night is over. Hub Arkish.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
And me, Mark Grody, we are here until midnight tonight on The Score.
Our live draft coverage continues on 670 The Score, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Bears drafted an offensive lineman in the third round, guy that has played guard and left tackle, Karan Amagaji out of Yale, 6'5", 326. We've talked about him a little bit, but the man just spoke out at Hallis Hall via Zoom to our colleagues out there in Lake Forest. So let's hear what the Bears offensive tackle, their newest rookie, Karan Amagaji, is all about.
Hey, Karan, congratulations. I know you grew up in the area, so I'm just wondering what it means for you to be drafted by the Bears if you grew up watching the Bears,
had any favorite players, stuff like that.
I can't even put it into words. Like, this is like the I really have no words. I grew up a Bears fan, watching Devin Hester playing Madden 08, 09, run around with Devin Hester in kickoff mode. Like, this is everything I've wanted since I was a little kid. So, I mean, I can't even put it into words. This is amazing.
Pat?
Yeah, hi. Congratulations. What was the extent of your interaction with the Bears as you prepared for this? And when they called today, what'd they tell you?
I took a visit to the Bears. Actually, my first interaction with the Bears was in the Chili's of Terminal 1 at Chicago O'Hare Airport with Tom Bradaway, the scout, who I missed my gate, and I was walking back to my actual gate, and then he stopped me. That was my first interaction with the Bears. And, you know, took a visit. They came and saw me at school a couple times, and, you know, I got the call. And, you know, everybody's just congratulating me on staying home, and, you know, we're ready to get to work.
Did you sit down at the Chili's and have something?
No, I was about to miss my flight. I went to the wrong gate. I had to run back to my other gate. It was a very random meetup, but, you know, obviously it led to this now. So crazy how the world works.
Dan, go ahead.
Ron, with the injury last year, where are you now physically, and how much did that set you back as you were trying to finish your career at Yale?
Yeah, you know, I feel really good right now. I'm ready to get to work. And, you know, obviously it was pretty bad timing of the injury, but God works in mysterious ways. And it's the path I had to take to get to where I am today. So I'm not going to let it deter me moving forward.
So to be a local guy and a Bears fan, what was your reaction to last night's draft activity for the Bears?
I mean, how could I not be happy? I'm just so excited. Caleb actually just texted me a little bit ago. So, you know, I'm excited to get to work with all the guys.
Go ahead, Zach.
Oh, hey, congratulations. Can you talk about your background in basketball, how that's kind of helped you develop the football game?
Yeah, I mean, I started playing basketball in fifth grade. I played through my sophomore year. I just think all the, you know, some of the movements translate, even though they're not the exact same. But, you know, the foot quickness, agility, jumping, change of direction, you need all that when you play basketball. So I think it really helped me to develop kind of the skills that I have now.
Josh?
Yeah, hey, Karan, congratulations. Just curious about your early interactions in the draft process with Chris Morgan and the kind of feel you have for the coach that he is.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Morgan and I had an amazing conversation when I came in on a visit with them. And, you know, we basically put it on the line what we both want from, you know, each other. And that's the absolute best. That's hard work. It's effort. It's you know, nothing short of excellence. So I'm excited for the journey I'm about to take with him. And I'm really excited to get to work under him.
I can't wait to hear what Ryan Poles has to say about that kid right there. And that was offensive tackle Karan Amagaji out of Yale, 6'5", 326, 2021 every game at right guard, 2022 started 10 games at left tackle. Last year he was mostly injured, as he was talking about right there. But it's interesting, man, you don't draft an offensive lineman in the third round to not play him. I'm not saying that he's going to, you know, replace anybody as a starter, but you start to look at some of the depth on the offensive line for the Bears. You know, they brought in Matt Pryor. You have Jatari Carter, who's still on his rookie contract and has made some strides, and guy that, you know, I thought was going to have a bigger year considering how good his camp was last year. Jatari Carter, Larry Borum still around as well. So yeah, I am looking. And then you know, the two guys that you just brought in Jeremy Bates and Shelton Coleman. So there's a lot of bodies on that offensive line right now. So the nest building continues by Ryan Poles. And yes, he not only did he go to Yale, he is, as he was talking about, Karan Amagaji, he is a Hinsdale kid as well. Grew up a Bears fan, so seven Bears right off the bat for Kareem Amagaji. Let's get back to some of your phone calls. Mark Grody, Hub Arkish, we are here with you until midnight, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Tom in Rockford. Tom, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for taking a call.
For sure.
Yeah, two questions, pretty quick. I know you're limited time. Number one, would somebody please tell Eberflus and Poles that they ought to try and beat the Packers?
I think they're aware. They're aware of that situation. What's number two, my friend?
Let me go to that one real quick. Eberflus was not obvious at any of the pregame interviews last year. He just looked like it was another game. It's not another game. It's everything to me. Okay. Number two has to do with Fields. I thought he was okay, perhaps in a hurry up where he didn't have to overthink things. But I agree with Hub's assessment 1,000% on the guy. Number three question, real quick,
Whoa.
Is Caleb Williams.
We got a third. We got the bonus. Two in the bonus.
I said real quick with Caleb Williams, again, I agree with Hub's assessment yesterday when you're trying to bring the guys back to earth, and that was his footwork going to his left was horrible. And I have some concerns on whether he's really going to be as good as everybody's excited about right now.
There you go.
It'll help if I turn my microphone on.
Always does. Always does.
You know, I've studied a lot of tape in the last couple of weeks on this young man, and I don't see anything about his physical ability that concerns me. You know, that's really all I can say about that. He can do everything that you want a franchise quarterback to be able to do. And as we are learning about him, he appears to have all the mental acuity that you would hope for. And they had to make the pick. I mean, again, he's been the number one prospect in this draft for a year and a half or two, and it never changed. It wasn't going to change. And, now what if they take another quarterback? What if they keep number one but don't take him? Then everybody would be doing exactly what we're begging you not to do, which is to go nuts again.
Hey, speaking of that, as you said that, man, what if the Bears take a quarterback tomorrow in the fourth round?
Well, if they're looking for that number two that I'm talking about, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But you're not going to draft them. I want a veteran.
Okay.
Yeah. But they could take another quarterback.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, I am fascinated by this.
One of the things I was just checking now is it's never happened before. Six quarterbacks drafted in the first 12 picks in the draft, and now that we're almost at the end of the third round, the seventh hasn't come off the board yet.
Oh, that's
These six completely different from everybody else.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, while we're there, and I'm going to get to some of your calls. I see you guys 312-644-6767. But quickly, what did you think when the Falcons took Michael Penix Jr. at 8, and the Bears were praying that they took anybody but Roma Dunze there, and they took Michael Penix Jr.? Paul's had to be like, "What? Oh yeah."
Mark, my first thought was that they're kidding.
Right. You know, that's just jokes.
I mean. I'm always going to be a Michigan alum, so everybody's always going to assume that my joy about J.J. McCarthy is because I'm a Michigan alum. It's not, I can assure you. But there is no way for anybody who watched the national championship game, Michael Penix is not in J.J. McCarthy's league. And they took him two spots ahead of him. And they had they didn't have to trade up to do that, so at least they got that part. But that was just... That's one of the strangest draft picks I've seen in the last few years.
Yeah, it was bizarre. So, Michael Penix gets drafted, so does Bo Nix. That was, both of those guys, like Michael Penix Jr. and like Bo Nix, I would not have been surprised if either of those guys ended up as second round picks, to be honest with you.
You know, Mark, I didn't count all of the GMs and coaches who returned my calls or who I talked to or whatever, but I can tell you from doing this for a lot of years, it's at least, 15, probably closer to 20 over the last couple months. And not one of them had Michael Penix in the first round.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that
says
it all.
Most of them had him very high in the second round.
Right.
I'm not saying he's a complete disaster, but to take him at number eight, it made no – trade down. Get some more draft choices because he was still going to be there at 15 or 20 or whatever.
I mean, it may end up being a good situation for them. I mean, now they have this rookie prospect behind Kirk Cousins, and so if he's still not completely recovered, you've got the Penix possibility. And then you sit the kid, you do the Jordan Love thing. You sit him for 2-3 years, see if he can learn. And that's a pretty good guy to learn under, too, by the way, Kirk Cousins.
The other thing a lot of people don't realize about that Cousins contract is, he got $140 million. But only the first 2 years is guaranteed, and that's only about $60 or $65 million, which in quarterback money, for a guy who's played as well as he is, that's not unreasonable money. So the financial part wasn't the negative. The negative was taking the 33rd best prospect in the draft at number 8.
it is mind-boggling, and we'll see how it works. But, they're getting worked over by just about everybody. 312-644-6767. Bring me Jeff in Glen Ellen. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Hub, I'm a fellow Deerfield Warrior, first off. But I wanted to – I know you just a moment or two ago were touching base on all the bodies on O-line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering what you think or how you think Williams will fare with the offensive line that is likely to be fielded this season. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Let me tell you something that's interesting about that I just discovered as I've been trying to do three things at once here. But do you know that three Washington offensive tackles have already been drafted in the first three rounds?
Really?
Yeah, one in the first, one in the second, one in the third.
Wow!
And so as you evaluate, you know, the play, you know, that's where you got to stop and say, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here? you know, he had better talent around him, you know, than, well, mm-hmm. not because Washington, I'm talking about the wrong guy, but the bottom line is that I something's been jumping out at me about this draft. And if you go through the first three rounds and you just total up the Alabama players, the mm-hmm. The Washington players, the Michigan players,
yeah.
the Ohio State players,
yeah.
and that's really it. I guess okay. Alabama. I think I left
you said that. Alabama. No, oh, I think okay. you said Alabama.
Well, of those four, they represent about 40% of the first round.
It's unbelievable.
That's what's happening to college football and college yeah. sports right now. It's because of the NIL money. There's a lot of reasons for it. But you know, I've never seen a draft like this where those three positions, the offensive tackles, the wide receivers, and the quarterbacks, owned the first round.
Yeah. No, it's been wild, and it has been historic. The first Alabama guy chosen this year, tackle J.C. Latham to the Tennessee Titans at number 7. Let's go to Mike in Libertyville. Hello, Mike. You're on the Score.
Good evening. This call, I just want to see if Hub's memory is still pretty sound. He and I played in a foursome together about 15 or 20 years ago. I believe it was one of Ditka's programs. Remember that, Hub?
Well, I don't remember which one it was, but I do remember playing in some of Mike's tournaments, and I can't imagine how unhappy you must have been having to play golf with me. But golf's not my game. Football's my game.
I was quite a hacker that day, too. Spent a lot of time in the trees
out
there.
Hey, what did you think of Ditka, Mike?
Well, he's one of my patients. You know, we're trying to get him off the top shelf. But a great guy, fantastic guy. I mean, there's I just, you know, as a Bear fan and Bears history, Chicago Bears history, top of the list.
Nice. Did you say he's one of your patients, Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I work with alcoholics quite a bit.
Oh, okay. Very good, Mike. Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah. Appreciate. I think, you know, taking this guy from Yale, though, is a, you know, sort of a thing that the Bears have been doing for a while, is going with injured or medically unsound players. I really don't get it, why this guy's coming off an injury and then they pick him up. It was a backup for the offensive line.
Well, you know, the bottom line is, what are the injuries and what is the history of recovery, you know, and what is the danger with certain kinds of injuries if it happening a second time? These are all the things that these teams spend a lot of time studying and making sure that they've done their homework. But the most interesting guy, the first defensive player in the draft, number 15, Leitu, who went to the Colts, the mm-hmm. best edge rusher in this draft.
Yeah.
The guy I was hoping the Bears would
He's
take.
He's your guy, yeah. isn't he, man?
I would have taken him at 9 if I was.
Really? See, I didn't think any of those guys, I didn't think any of those defensive ends were worthy of a top 10 pick.
I will say, though, that when Odunze was still there, I had no problem with them taking him instead of. But Leitu was the guy that I really wanted. And for the best defensive player to be 15th, you know, the first 14 players, all offense and almost all quarterbacks, offensive tackles and wide receivers. You know, it's just, it's really unusual.
Hey, Mike, you still there, bud?
Here.
Okay, Mike, appreciate the call, Mike. And tell Ditka to call me. He and I have something in common, apparently. So that works if you're working sober. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye. We need to take a break. It's Mark Grody and Hub Arkish still to come on the show. More of your calls, 312-644-6767. Also, we're going to hear from Caleb Williams. We're going to hear from Roma Dunze. Both of those guys were on the Score earlier, so we'll get to all of that coming up here on the Score.
Honestly, the biggest thing is that last summer, I met Coach Eberflus at a golf club that my dad belongs to, and I introduced myself. He didn't know who I was, obviously, and I told him that one day I'd be sitting in his office, and the next year that they'd be looking at to draft me. So he reminded me of that on the phone today. And you know, that's the biggest thing is that, you know, this is something that I've been dreaming about for so long. And you know, something that I wanted to happen and, you know, it happened. I honestly can't even believe it. I don't even know if this is real, if I'm dreaming. So,
that's fantastic, man. Flus, I wonder if he says that to all the players that he sees on the golf course, though. Hey, we're gonna draft you someday. But that is the Bears' third-round pick. He's a left tackle. He is Karan Amagaji out of Yale, 6'5", 326, and dealt with some injury issues last year, but looks like he is healthy and good to go. And he's from the area. He's a Hinsdale kid, and he's a third-round pick for the Bears. So one would suspect that this guy will be around for a while. 312-644-6767. What line shall I go to, Alex Kuhn, here right now? Okay, we're going to go to Dan in Chicago. Hello, Dan.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's up, Dan?
Hey, Karan.
Yes?
How do you pronounce his last name?
Oh, Amagaji. Simple. Common spelling, too, by the way.
Amagaji.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, I just heard the guy's name. I looked up some of his film on YouTube. Wow. Really aggressive guy. Looks like he plays with a nice base too for a third round pick. I was really impressed.
Okay.
Somebody on YouTube said he could even be a late first round selection. Now that might have been a stretch for a good kid from Yale, but I still thought it was really cool. Good pick. I would probably disagree with. Okay, let me preface this by saying. Taking Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th pick is crazy, by all accounts. When you just give Kirk Cousins a massive deal, but you only have one chance of taking Michael Penix Jr. In my opinion, I thought he was had the livest arm in the draft.
Got a good arm.
So,
got a
I mean, I don't know how you could pass. Maybe they just saw him and just felt like they couldn't pass on him. I don't know, but. The last two college quarterbacks to have two consecutive 4,500-plus yards in a season, Michael Penix Jr. and Pat Mahomes.
That's it. The Falcons are made, man. They are set and ready. I will say, look, probably not the shrewdest move ever that the Atlanta Falcons have made. There's no doubt about it, but I am curious. I am curious to see how it works out and to see if Michael Penix does eventually get that football a couple of years down the road.
I will never criticize a GM or a coach for taking a player who they think is going to be great. They know more about it than I do, mm-hmm. and they think that they've got the right guy. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it because they're going to lose their jobs if they're wrong. You know, so that part of it is fine. But everybody can find out if they work hard enough where these guys are ranked within reason. And there is no question that nobody else of the other 31 teams was going to take them at 8. You know, and so I'm not saying they're wrong about Penix. I'm saying they just wasted the 8th pick in the draft because they could have gotten 2 number ones, a 2 and a 4 for it, and still gotten Penix. That's my problem with it. It's not that Michael Penix is a bad football player.
Yeah. Coming up, we're going to hear from Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. We're going to do that in the 11 o'clock hour. Right now, we got time to squeeze another one in? Yeah, we do. We're going to go to Stan. Stan on the road. Stan on the road. What's up?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. I haven't been able to listen to the draft this evening, so I don't know. I don't think he's been drafted. But what do you think about the Bears possibly spending their next pick on Torrey Taylor, the punter from Iowa? He was the best offensive player Iowa had last year, and they could use an upgrade at the punting position.
Yeah, the punting position did get a little bit shady. I will say that, but they just drafted that punter. What did he go? Yeah, he was in the 2022 draft. He was in Ryan Poles' first draft, Trenton Gilley, 7th rounder for the Bears.
I guess the only thing I would say about that, you do not need to spend a 4th round pick on a punter.
Yeah, that's the better thing to say about
that. You can get all kinds of good punters, and you don't have to do it in the 4th round. It's kind of like Michael Penix all over again. So I'm not saying you're wrong about the punter, but I can guarantee you can probably get him in the 7th round.
Iowa grad here. Love Torrey Taylor.
Yes.
Don't draft him in the 4th round.
Was that the super drunk guy? Did I take the super drunk guy right now? That wasn't the super drunk guy? Okay.
But you did take him.
Yeah. Maybe he's just a fan. Maybe he knows that guy. What's his name again? I've already forgot the punter's name from Iowa. I already forgot.
Torrey Taylor.
Torrey Taylor. Thank you very much. A perfect alliteration.
And he's also right that he was Iowa's best offensive player.
Okay. That is sad, sad, sad. No, that's not going to happen. That's the extra drunk guy right there. How about we take Paul because that'll finish out this rack of calls and then we can take the break. Paul, what's going on?
Yes. My second question was going to be about the Cubs.
Wait a minute. Did I just take Paul twice? Is that what happened? Paul was hanging in there for me?
I don't know, but if he wants to talk Cubs, I want to hear what he has to say.
Oh, so, yeah, no, actually, no, things are going very... Cubs won again tonight. The Cubs, I mean, Hub and I were sitting in one of the old update studios watching the NFL draft and listening to the Cubs, and I'm like, man, Craig Counsell is something, considering what the Cubs don't have right now.
Am I the only Cubs fan out there who realizes that five of their seven best players are in injured reserve
oh,
right now?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, Hub, look, two of their best starting pitchers didn't begin the season
and
with the Cubs.
What these kid pitchers are doing now, again today, I mean
Shota, man. Shota Imanaga is something.
It's hard not to get pretty excited.
Yeah,
about
no,
right
no, it's great, man. We'll take all the winning we can get, especially since they're all the games are right here on the score.
But go ahead. What was your Cubs?
Yeah, Paul, what was your second question?
Yeah, so I was going to say Cubs definitely did very well today. I was very proud of the pitcher. I listened to the game, and Shota. I was just amazed how he did. But my question was that how come for the longest time now, like I think since 2016, how come is it that the Cubs and you know, I don't know if it's just the general managers or the coaches or whatever, just the players themselves, but how come it feels like since 2016, the Cubs just are not performing as well as they should be?
Well, that is a question to which there are any number of different answers. The short answer is, I got to say this. And by the way, Paul, hang in there. Come up with a third question. I'll get back to you about 11:30 or so, Paul. So if you want to hang in there, the short answer is all of a sudden the Cubs were not able to hit. It seemed like. By the way, in 2017, the Cubs did go to the National League Championship Series. So, but there was this decline in the offensive players. All those guys that were hitting bombs over the walls, things started to become a little bit skeptical in that regard. So it was just a lack of hitting, and obviously we can go into any number of things. But we don't have time to talk Cubs tonight, unfortunately, Hub. But we're very, very proud of the Cubs. When we come back on this show, more your calls, 312-644-6767. We will also hear from Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.